Good morning, beloved church. Pastor Kevin Drudge here, welcoming you to a time of worship for Sunday, March 22nd. As the Apostle Paul so often said in his greetings, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are familiar and often repeated words, and for good reason. If we grasp the power and wonder of grace and peace from God, grace and peace to us, in whatever moment we find ourselves in throughout life. These are unusual and distressing moments and days right now, as we know very well by now. Much has been said and written and discussed concerning the coronavirus pandemic, and much more will come in days ahead. So for a few moments now on this fourth Sunday of Lent, we will return to our Lenten worship, drawing inspiration again from Psalm 23. This has been a beloved psalm for believers for millennia, and it is no less meaningful right now to us here in southern Manitoba in the springtime of 2020. The Lord is my shepherd. Indeed, the Lord is our shepherd. If you have a hymnal worship book at hand, you may wish to open to 352 while Rochelle and I play, "Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us." Let us pray. Gentle and good shepherd, you have walked on this earth. You know this terrain. You know where the good pastures lie and where the safe and quiet waters can be found. You know what we need for restoration, and you help us find the good paths. You even go down into the darkest valleys and remain with us in these most difficult parts of the journey. Thanks be to God, we are not alone. May that truth anchor us anew in these very days and in all that lies ahead. And even as we cannot be together as a congregation for a time, may the Holy Spirit blow and dance and weave its way among us so that we find we are not desolate and lonely, but filled with surprising peace and aware of a great companionship. Thanks be to God. We pray according to our faith in the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen. In our hymnal, number 519 has been our theme song for Lent.
By the quiet waters.
Doors of peace. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Gently you raise me and heal my weary soul. You lead me by pathways of righteousness and truth. My spirit shall sing the music of your name. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second scripture reading is John 10, 7 to 15. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep.
It's God's day and a good day. We are living through historic times. Not only is the pandemic, coronavirus, new, so are the social practices we are now adopting: self-isolating, social distancing, frequent and intensive hand-washing. We listen to the news and to reports of economic turmoil, canceled events, store closures, factory and business shutdowns, massive employee layoffs, volatility in both the stock and the bond markets, and on the consumer front, panic buying, hoarding, and profiteering sales of toilet paper and hand sanitizer. We worry about the spread of the virus and of our own vulnerability. Will we be exposed? Will we fall ill? Will our hospitals and frontline medical staff be able to cope? Will the inevitable spread of this virus change life as we know it? Scripture assures us that God is with us even during such times of trial. And it may help to remember that historically we are not alone. Generations before us have lived through the uncertainties and trauma of pandemics and plagues. My maternal grandparents experienced not only the last pandemic, the Spanish influenza that swept over the world a century ago, but also the equally challenging depression years of the 1930s, when the economy no longer functioned as expected, and a series of illnesses kept their family of 12 quarantined on their Minnesota farm for over 2 months. Unlike us, they did not have a telephone or a radio to keep them informed, and certainly no TV, internet, or email communications. It was not an easy time. There was hardship and suffering, but they persevered and they kept their faith. As a church, we are now observing Lent, which, as Pastor Kevin reminded us on March 1st, is a time when we pause to commemorate the sufferings of Jesus. It is a time to repent when we wander off the path, a time to listen for the call of our shepherd who knows the terrain and can lead us through the dangerous valleys. Our Sunday worship focus during this time of Lent has been on the 23rd Psalm, King David's familiar shepherd psalm, which over the past 3,000 years has become the best known and most loved passage in the Bible. It is a psalm of trust and great confidence. In previous Sundays, we have considered how the first two verses, how with the Lord as our shepherd we will not want, will not lack what we need. He guides us in the green pastures and the still waters. He restores our soul. And now in this morning's passage, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You might wonder that I have chosen to speak about this particular verse when I confess that for many years it was my least favorite in the whole psalm. The other verses seem to be rich with visual imagery, the pastures, the still waters, the dark valley, the rod and staff, the oil of anointment, the overflowing cup, and the house of the Lord. Some translations render verse 3 in a similar visual way. He leads me in the right paths, or the straight paths. But I grew up reading the King James Version, and there, righteousness it was. It sounded very rules-based, a sort of sit up straight, mind your manners, God is watching you kind of verse. And then the verse that followed, for his name's sake, had a narcissistic overtone. It sounded like a deity with a big ego, one obsessed with getting all the attention that he could. I really didn't understand the verse until I read a study of the 23rd Psalm by Rabbi Harold Kushner. You may remember Kushner as the author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Before his renown for that book, Rabbi Kushner did his doctoral dissertation on the history of the Book of Psalms. After the shock of 9/11 and many deaths at the hands of terrorists, Kushner heard people asking, "Where was God? How could God let this happen?" And the answer he offered was a book entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd, Healing Wisdom of the 23rd Psalm. For me, Rabbi Kushner's book did contain healing wisdom, especially when it came to this morning's verse, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Kushner translates it from the Hebrew as follows, He guides me in the straight paths for his name's sake. Kushner also explains that the phrase straight paths or right paths actually says something more complex and more interesting than his translation can convey. It literally means roundabout ways that end up in the right direction. The connotation is more like this. God takes the meanderings of our lives, including our apparent missteps and misdirections, and makes them turn out just right. God makes them all meaningful. I have found that to be very reassuring. Some of us are familiar with Parker Palmer, a Quaker teacher and writer. Several times in his life, Palmer has struggled with severe clinical depression to the extent that he felt death would have been sweet release. Yet those painful struggles have helped him to become a man of great wisdom and an encourager of others who are undergoing similar dark nights of the soul. In my own life, I can think back to when I was young and struggling with the skill of writing. I lacked the easy facility with words and sentences that others my age seemed to have. I doubted if I might ever learn how to express myself with clarity and grace. Years later, as a classroom teacher, I could empathize with the frustrations of students who faced a similar challenge, and I could share with them the joy and satisfaction that comes when one has learned to articulate well, even eloquently, an idea or feeling. I have learned, better late than never, that what the King James Version called the paths of righteousness are a beautiful place to be. It's not all about obeying the rules. It's about experiencing God's redemptive love. From the book of Genesis onward, we see our Creator God bringing order out of chaos. And the phrase for his namesake has a different meaning too. It's not about God's big ego or desire for all the attention. Instead, it's a matter of integrity, of reliability. When I was a teenager, a professor at our state university offered to give me a job reference anytime I asked, because I was one of Roy's boys. In that case, it was for my father's name's sake. The Apostle Paul, when he was confronted by an angry mob in Jerusalem, made the point that he had learned Jewish law at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the renowned professors of his day, for his name's sake. All of us probably have had remarkable teachers and mentors for whose name's sake we make our best effort. It's not a matter of their ego. It's a matter of our love and respect for that person. In this verse, the paths of righteousness, the straight paths, also recall God's covenant with the children of Israel through Moses. God led the Israelites from bondage in Egypt to restored life in a new land. Their prolonged wandering in the wilderness may have seemed to them the roundabout way, but it gave them the time to transition from being slaves to being free people. For his integrity's sake, God took the meanderings of their lives, their apparent missteps and misdirections, and made them turn out right, made them ready to live in the promised land. A distinctive feature of Psalm 23 is its use of many first-person singular pronouns, I, me, and my, 16 instances in just 6 verses. This makes the psalm seem very personal and intimate, but it also can narrow our understanding of the psalm. Psalm 23 is called a Psalm of David. We tend to think of the speaker as David the shepherd boy, and certainly the shepherd metaphor shapes the meaning and all of the images of this song. Yet we also need to remember that the speaker is David, the king of Israel. In ancient times, the king or ruler was considered to be the people's shepherd. In our modern day, it would be like our leader, Justin Trudeau, saying, "God is my prime minister." And just as David was the shepherd to the Jewish nation, so was God his shepherd. David had a covenant to keep, not only with his subjects, but with his sovereign God. The 23rd Psalm speaks meaningfully to us as individuals, but also to us as members of a society. Here, too, our prayer needs to be that God will lead us in the paths of righteousness, or justice, as some Hebrew scholars choose to translate it. I recently heard a CBC News commentator say that during this pandemic, we're trying to do business as usual at a time when nothing is usual. I would suggest that in the days ahead, as we isolate ourselves in our homes, that we not try to get back to business as usual. It may not be a bad thing if life as we have known it is compelled to change. This can be a time when we pause to reflect on our way of living, to repent where we have wandered off the path and off the right and the just path, and to listen again for the voice of our Savior. Our governments may spend billions of dollars trying to restore the old order, but just because the old pathways are familiar does not make them right. We have acknowledged many times that the old system is broken, that it's riddled with inequities, hatreds, and fears. Instead of trying to get back to business as usual, our goal during this time should be to seek something better. If we listen to the shepherd's call this time, when our spirits, this is the time when our spirits can awaken to new possibilities, a time when our communities can seek pathways forward that are more righteous and just. Jesus knew the Psalms very well, and he reflected the 23rd Psalm in the only parable to be found in the New Testament Gospel of John. We call it the parable of the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, the passage that Myra has read, Jesus said that the good shepherd will not run away in the face of crisis, but instead will lay down his life to save his flock. In this time of Lent, we remember with gratitude that Jesus did just that. He suffered and died to bring us and our broken world back to the right path. In recent months, as I've reflected on healthy aging, I've returned again and again to this good shepherd parable and Jesus' promise of an abundant life. It includes, it seems to me, at least four dimensions: our relationships, our resilience, our reverence, and our experience of resurrection life. Our relationships may seem constrained during this time of social distancing and self-isolation, yet this also can be a time to increase our social solidarity, a time to use our phones and email and social media tools to rekindle relationships and build a stronger sense of community. As we think about whether we are on the right path, we now have the time to review patiently and honestly our relationship with ourselves, with others, with God, and with the created world. None of us likes to be tested, but already in ancient times, humankind discovered that the refiner's fire purified metal and made it stronger. In our society, we hear much about post-traumatic stress, but psychologists now also speak of post-traumatic growth, of our ability to come through such challenges as we are now facing with greater strength, more resilience, and a full, flourishing life. As the coronavirus spreads across the globe, we hear much from the World Health Organization, an agency of the UN. I am reminded that about the time that I was born, the World Health Organization took the lead in expanding our understanding of good health. It was not just the absence of illness or abnormality, the founders said. It was physical, mental, and social-emotional well-being. That broader definition was well and good, but quite deliberately, it did not include the spiritual. One of many doctors who questioned that decision was Paul Tournier, a Swiss physician and psychotherapist. He wrote, "Everybody today is searching for an answer to those problems to which science pays no attention, the problem of destiny, the mystery of evil, and the question of death." Tournier reminded his Christian readers of their mission to make God's voice heard. I said at the outset that this is a historic time. It's also a time when our society can rediscover reverence and ask those vital questions about destiny and evil and death. I hope that as a society, we will not spend all of our time in isolation, preoccupied with entertainment or even self-fulfillment. This is a time when we can explore the spiritual dimension and open ourselves to God's immanence and transcendence. And finally, as we continue our Lenten reflections and look toward Easter services, we recall that the painful sufferings of Jesus lead to redemption and resurrection life. The love and courage and sacrifice of the Good Shepherd means that we may have life and have it abundantly, as John 10:10 says. It means that we as individuals and as a society can find our way back to the straight paths, the paths of justice, the paths of righteousness. The 40 days of Lent traditionally begin with Ash Wednesday, when we are reminded of God's words to Adam, "Remember that thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return." In the days ahead, in our worship services, in our pandemic news reports, perhaps even in our immediate circle, we will be reminded of the valley of the shadow of death. But we also can remember that both here and in the hereafter, we are led by the Good Shepherd, that he will help us to find the green pastures, the still waters, and the right paths, and that he will give us not just life, but abundant life. May God be with us in this time.
We can't have our usual response in sharing time, but I thank Larry for that very timely message from Psalm 23. We can continue to pray together as a congregation, and Scripture invites us to pray in the Spirit, to pray without ceasing, to pray boldly, bringing our petitions before God, who is love. I invite you to pray with me now. There will be brief silences for the prayers of your hearts. Creating and redeeming God, trusting in your power expressed in love and grace, we bring our prayers to you this day through Christ our Lord. We pray for our children. In these days of uncertainty and fear, we bring children to you, Jesus, as did the parents of old. Please place your hands on them again and bless them. As children are home from school and people are asked to remain at home, to isolate, please help us to have patience, creativity, and gratitude for every blessing, large or small. as the friends of old brought their loved ones to Jesus for healing. We pray for those among us who seek healing today, healing of body, of mind, and soul. As our government and community leaders and medical professionals work so hard at the front lines of a crisis, please grant them protection, strength and wisdom for the work ahead, and times of needed rest and renewal. For those in our communities and beyond who are most vulnerable, who have few social supports, who live in already trying circumstances, let there be extra grace and help. Open our eyes and our hearts to those whom we can assist and care for in some way. For a world reeling on a staggering scale, Almighty God, please open a way before us that we cannot yet see, but that will be for widespread good and renewed hope. May this time of crisis be an opportunity for encounter with you, our God, in new ways made available because we are treading in new places. O Lord, shepherd us through the days ahead. Show us the good paths of righteousness for such a time as this. Lord, in your mercy, grant us peace. In the name of Jesus, we, your church, pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.